It's two middle-aged dudes and a microphone.
Hey, everybody, this is Craig.
And this is Aaron.
And welcome to Two Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone.
And we're coming to you from the Lee Berry Studios just outside of historic Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, and an undisclosed location.
Correct. It shall remain so.
What, you okay? You got some Novocaine or something? Hey, we got lots of good stories this time. Every week we think we can't get better stories, and then you go out and you mine the internet.
Yeah, we
do. And I'm giving you full credit because you usually mine the internet. Because when I do it, you don't like my stories.
That's not true.
Okay, so we got some stuff here.
Yeah, we got story number one. All right, first of all, let me hit this.
Story one.
And that music, you know what that means, right?
It means it's time for a poo story.
A poo story. And this isn't really a poo story, but it's bathroom.
It's not really
related.
But it gave an excuse to play the theme
exactly.
Music.
Exactly. And it is bathroom related. And the headline is Bathroom Passport Limits Students' Trips to the Restroom at Suburban School. Now, you know, we've heard stories about this from, say, North Korea.
Yes.
You know, but this actually takes place in St. Charles, Illinois.
So I'm not sure passport is the right word. That
That's
sounds like you're crossing
it.
The border.
You're crossing the threshold.
Oh, you're crossing the threshold. That's true. You're crossing. Okay. So what does this get me?
Okay. The bathroom policy at one middle school in suburban St. Charles allows students to leave class.
Did you say suburban?
Yes, I did.
Instead of suburban?
I meant suburban.
Okay. Keep going. It's okay.
Is it okay to have a podcast if you can't speak?
It's apparently.
Okay.
So St. Charles, you were telling us the story about St. Charles.
So this passport allows the students to leave class to use the facilities only about three times every 3 months.
Yeah, it says you only get three trips to the restroom per quarter and to use them wisely. What kind of fiends are these people?
I think
What about three times?
And this is middle school. It's not like they're changing classes.
What do you do? So what do you do? You have like a corner, like an accident corner? Is there a mop in there?
I bet
there's some people walking out anyway.
Here's what it is. They have bathroom times.
Yeah.
And if you it's like if you don't go before you leave home, we're not stopping.
So
you
know? Maybe outside of normal between
that's
true. That actually is fair. Okay, I'm changing my mind about this a little bit because you switch classes usually.
Right.
So you go to the bathroom in between. And
yeah.
If you don't and you're one of these people that just want to come up with a reason to leave,
yeah.
They're saying you get three passes out every.
I'm not passing out.
You might if you don't go to the bathroom. Or if the guy behind you goes ahead and goes behind you.
Okay. It says you only get three trips to the restroom per quarter. If the form is lost, students lose all remaining bathroom trips. So you better hang on to your passport.
That's not all they lose.
Yeah. The idea is to keep the kids from abusing bathroom time. But, you know, some people say it's ridiculous. This lady posted a picture of her passport, or I guess this young lady posted a picture of her passport on her Facebook page. And it drew quick reaction from other parents. Her son, Angelo, is a seventh grader.
Oh, Angelo's the worst.
He goes to the bathroom all the time.
He's always.
No wonder she's complaining.
No, he's always.
He says he has a special needs and the passport.
Oh, now we just made fun of Angelo and he's got special needs. Great. I'd like to apologize to Angelo and his family.
Sorry, Angelo.
Sorry, Angelo. We didn't know you.
If I had a bathroom pass, I'd let you have mine.
I would.
Jim Blaney.
Well, now that someone posted it on the internet, you can just make printouts of it.
Jim Blaney, the spokesperson for School District 303, says that this is not a district-wide policy.
Of course not. No, this is something that Jim Blaney came up with.
Jim Blaney says common sense dictates that if a student needs to use the restroom, teachers will let the student use the restroom.
Which negates the whole thing.
Yeah, so why are they doing it?
It undermines the
whole
plan.
You know what it is? It's getting the students ready for all the red tape you have to go through in the corporate America.
How hard is it for you to go to the bathroom at your job? What, he just trailed off with laughter. Wait, where'd you go? Oh, wait, Aaron just went to the bathroom. You don't have a pass.
Yeah, oh, Oh, yeah. By the way, we got a new song. We got a new theme song.
We got a new theme song for what? Let me guess.
Okay.
Play it.
What do you think?
Dumb criminals?
Yes. Very good.
It's like I knew.
Yeah. You know, we've had so many stories about stupid criminals lately that it looks like it's going to be a regular thing. So I figured,
we don't have regular stories about anything.
I figured why not just what the? Okay.
So
this woman was arrested. You know why?
Why?
Because she asked the police to check her meth for Ebola.
Well, that was just, she just wanted to make sure it was safe.
This was in Burnett County, Texas. A Texas woman is behind bars after taking police up on their offer to check her drugs for Ebola contamination.
That is nothing more than a responsible human being trying to make sure that there's not something in her meth that's going to hurt other people.
Okay. Well, Chastity Hobson, 29, was arrested Thursday.
No, Chastity Eugenia Hobson. That name is just so...
I only use all three names if it's like a mass murderer.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so Chastity...
She might be.
Chastity Hobson, 29, was arrested Thursday and charged with possession of less than 1 gram of a controlled substance.
Well, that was hardly any at all.
I mean, that's not hardly enough for Ebola to fit in.
No.
The Granite Shoals Police Department reportedly posted a tongue-in-cheek ad on its Facebook page saying, if you've recently purchased meth or heroin in Central Texas, please take it to the local police or sheriff department so it can be screened with a special device.
No.
Oh, the fake news story published Tuesday said, do not use it until you have been properly checked for possible Ebola contamination. It took about 2 days before police said Hobson took them up on the offer.
They literally threw the most ridiculous bait out there, and there's always the lowest common denominator just waiting.
Hence the theme song.
Oh, my gosh. No, I'm pretty sure. I want to check that out.
Normally this dealer gives me healthy meth. But yeah, I mean,
does this smell like Ebola to you? Man. Wow.
Fearless, check this meth.
Fearless, get over here. Okay, so the next story actually is one that you'll like.
Yeah, this one interests me.
I don't know why, because I don't think you even like this particular thing. But
I do not.
Catfish falls from sky, hits woman on street. You do like that.
I do.
Falling catfish weren't generally considered to be one of the hazards of life in Philadelphia until now. Lisa Lobry tells the Philadelphia Inquirer that she was walking near the city's art museum on the morning of Labor Day when she heard a rustling in the trees above her and was suddenly slammed in the face with what turned out to be a 5-pound catfish.
5 pounds? Have you ever been hit by something that like fell from any distance at all? Can you imagine?
What can carry a 5-pound? That would be a really big bird.
A pterodactyl.
Or a big bird.
Big bird never flew.
That we saw.
Ooh. The bird had apparently dropped the foot-long fish, which fell more than 50 feet through branches before hitting Lobre.
I just pronounced it Lobre, and you said Lobre.
It's Lobre.
It's like the La Brea tar pits.
Hello, Lobre.
Who was left with a cut on the face.
I love this tag team.
I know, we're tag teaming here. And this is an actual quote for him. I think it might have been head, face, and neck because I smelled so bad afterwards. I smelled disgusting.
Sure,
Lobry tells CBS Philly.
She has that she can exploded when it hit her.
She said she now. She adds that she can see the humor in it now,
sure,
though it wasn't funny at the time. It could have been so much worse.
Yeah, it could have been a shark.
She says, what if it hit a child? I think it might have been head, face, and neck because I smelled so bad afterwards. I smelled disgusting, Lobry said to CBS Philly. What if it hit a child? It was not a fun experience, but there were so many worse things that could have happened. It's probably one of the strangest things that ever happened to me in my whole life.
I would say so.
She says she did a lot of fishing growing up in Colorado and still loves fish, but this is the first catfish she's ever caught.
That's good.
This unfortunate tourist in Brazil had to undergo a catfishectomy.
Oh, please. There's so many things about this story that strike me as extremely humorous.
Well, yeah, a catfish fell out of the sky and hit a woman.
You remember on WKRP when they dropped turkeys?
One of my favorite ever. As God is my witness,
I thought turkeys could fly. So apparently this bird had a nice catch, and it had to be a big bird. Not the big bird.
Right.
Had to be a big bird. How do you think it felt?
Well, okay, look, I'm not going to feel bad for the bird. The bird has giant talons, okay?
Is it a chicken?
Do these chickens have big talons? The problem is that bird was
clumsy.
Was careless.
Yeah. Okay. I feel better now.
Yeah.
And
honestly, I guarantee you that bird could have dive bombed that woman and gotten the fish back.
I'm wondering why he didn't. I mean, just think if I had just stopped for a pizza, a large veggie lover's.
Why do you have to be so exact?
And I'm on my way home.
Is it thick crust or thin crust?
And I'm on my way home. Okay. And I drop it. You don't think I'll pick it up and head on home?
If it was in the box, I'd pick it up.
Sure, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, this was...
Yeah, first of all, if you're the kind of thing that's going to eat something that you just picked out of some water...
Exactly.
You're not going to work. Maybe he's just scared.
Maybe. But not as scared as that woman.
Maybe she's not admitting that she actually had called the catfish delivery service.
Huh.
It was like a drone that dropped it. Oh, it could have been a drone.
No, the witnesses saw a bird.
A drone dressed up as a bird?
Oh, maybe. There are such things. Can you imagine the pain? I mean, I have had acorns hit me on the head, like when I'm cutting grass or something.
Explains so much.
And dang if it doesn't sting.
Well, but catfish.
And they don't weigh but an ounce or two.
Catfish have those big stabby things out the side of them, too. So if they landed.
5 pounds? Can you imagine?
That's where she got the cut, though. You have to be careful when you catch those things because you got to get your hand behind those because they'll stab you right through the hand.
That thing had to explode.
I don't know.
It said they didn't know. I saw this on another site, and it said that they didn't know what it was at first. Her friend looked around and finally found the fish.
If you look on the second page, there's a quote from the catfish. She went, "Ow." Continuing with the animal stories, how about you take this one?
Snake slithers into man's mouth, and he bites off its head.
So how does the snake bite the guy's head off from inside his mouth?
It was a little bitty man and a great big snake.
Wow.
So this man was in a deep sleep and didn't even realize what was going on. But
I call foul on that. There's no way you'd be asleep and not. First of all, okay. Okay, 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 okay. Okay, okay. So a snake is just going to randomly pull up, park in your bed, and then go right into your mouth.
Why do we always go to snakes in beds?
Because, you know, I started it. I started
episode one.
And it was a. That's true. This story goes along with what
exactly.
The question I put. Okay, I like the story better now.
Okay, in a bizarre incident, a man in indoor.
A man that was indoors.
A man in indoor bit off a snake's head after it slithered into his mouth while he was asleep, according to the
How
Times
did the
of
snake,
India.
Oh, the snake! He was.
First of
the
all,
snake was sleepwalking.
It's in India
because he said the snake was asleep when he crawled into the guy's mouth.
Okay, what's his name? Craig
Raghuvanshi, a resident of Kulkarni, Kabata, in the city.
We're going to get letters.
Was
in a deep sleep when the snake entered his mouth.
And we did have one listener. We've had at least one listener from India.
Yeah.
So maybe if they're so smart, they can tell us what.
Well, they can use the internet.
Raghuvanshi in Kulkarni Kabahata.
He didn't even realize what was happened until his mother.
What was happened? He did not realize what was happened.
He didn't even realize what had happened until his mother.
Rampyari.
And hey, that was good.
Thank you.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Rampyari.
Yeah, you just got to go back and butcher it. Rampyari.
Entered his room and noticed that there was blood all over his face.
And a snake going.
So she had to come in right afterwards. The snake was wriggling on the floor. The man was immediately taken to the hospital and given medical treatment. The incident happened on September 8th when Raghuvanshi returned home tired after his shift at the petrol pump, also known as the gas station. The snake, which was about a foot and a half long, had reportedly dropped straight into his mouth from the roof.
Okay. Okay. Where we live, we don't have problems with snakes living on roofs.
Well, I don't know. We have one in our attic.
We have snakes on a plane.
Yeah, and snakes in beds.
Yeah, snakes in beds, but not snakes, no.
I saw blood on his face and a headless snake lying on the floor. He told me that something had dropped into his mouth and he chewed it, first of all.
That's awesome, though. He took care of business, like, and I even, he's just like.
What did but he what, said, was he dreaming somebody's, like, feeding him grapes or something?
He said it left a bad taste in his mouth.
I wasn't ready for that one.
He told me, go ahead. He told me that something had, keep going.
I was terrified and took him to Pir Baba.
Pir Baba.
Who gave him I guess we're supposed to know who Pir Baba
was. Oh, that's Peerless's.
Oh, his father.
His father, Pir Baba.
He's a doctor in India.
Pir Baba.
Who gave him a powder.
Pir Baba.
And he vomited out the head of the snake.
Why not just let him digest it? It's meat.
The Pir Baba told us to rush to the hospital.
The Pir Baba. We're going to sound really ignorant because we don't know what Pir Baba is. It's probably doctor, right?
I thought he was a rapper.
He's an Indian rapper.
Take this stuff and make it vomit, make you piss out the snake. His mother was quoted as saying, so around 8:15 p.m., he reached the government-run Maharashtra Yashwanta Hospital.
Again, us with the accurate pronunciations.
Where the doctors, who were reportedly shocked after listening to the story, gave him anti-venom injections. So he got a shot that cleared all that up. But what a nightmare. Can you imagine just you're trying to go to sleep? Apparently, he had already fallen asleep, and he must be a snorer because his,
did you say snorer?
How do you pronounce it? Snorer.
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 Okay.
Apparently, it's a title for a Sufi master or spiritual guide.
A souffle master?
Souffle master.
Hey, I'll take one.
Hi-hat! That was me making a souffle.
Take this powder. You take this powder and vomit out the snake head.
Oh, you know what time it is.
Hey, speaking of this story, by the way, another...
new music?
Yeah.
You ready? Yeah, play it.
Okay.
Fitting.
How scary is that?
Give me the willies.
That's the reaction I was going for.
Give me the willies.
I wish everybody could see your face.
Ooh, give me the willies. And I don't mean Willie the Clown.
Oh, we're going to get kicked out of Lee Berry.
Here we are.
Again.
Creepy clown reports continue. And creepy clown reports continue. And clowns are not happy. Clowns are not happy.
The non-creepy ones.
First, there were reports in Greenville County, yeah. South Carolina, of creepy clowns offering children money, yep, to come into the woods.
We reported on that.
There was also a mysterious late-night sighting of clowns waving under a streetlight.
We reported on that,
That
too.
All caused alarm and prompted police to increase patrols where the costume figures had been spotted. Now, 2 weeks later and 180 miles away,
wow,
separate tales of clowns trying to lure children into wooded areas in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, have set off concerns in the city.
Well, sure. I mean...
None of this. This is what I like about the story is now we're going to flip it.
Flip it.
We're going to look at it from the clown. What does this do to the clown? How does this make a clown feel?
You know, I've never thought about the clowns.
Yeah, we never actually thought about how it makes them feel.
How
we grouped them together.
Yes.
We're clownophobes. I just made that up.
No, I'm not a clownophobe.
Yeah, you are.
Well, I guess I am because I am kind of scared of clowns.
None of this sits well with clowns. Mike Bekvar, a professional clown who goes by the name Sir Toonie Van Dukes.
Sir Toonie.
Sir Toonie.
Get in here.
It's a you, a Sir Toonie. And runs the website Just for Clowns. Do you think I could get in there if I'm not a clown?
Is that like a dating site?
Sir, this is only for clowns. Just for clowns.
I think somehow we fit that description.
Well, he says, Sir Toonie says, said anxiety about the incidents is being needlessly stoked by national news coverage. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, Sir Toonie, that we're letting people know that there are creeps walking around in clown makeup scaring children and possibly trying to carry them off.
I want to go to Just for Clowns.
This guy actually says this. I wonder how the reporting on the story would go if instead of clowns, people were dressing up as aliens, witches, zombies, or doctors.
That would be Halloween.
Yeah. What if they were wearing hospital scrubs, lab coats, and a stethoscope around their neck? Those would be doctors. Would the news report that doctors were hiding in the woods trying to lure kids with candy? Okay, I'm sorry. Sir Toonie's a special kind of stupid. He's actually a special kind of stupid. I mean, what's next? Are they going to have guys dressed as police officers saving people? And we're just going to let that go?
But what if there's doctors in the woods trying to lure kids with
candy? Doctors lure kids all the time.
Hey, my doctor used to give me a lollipop. Does that count?
No.
Okay.
Nevertheless, the police in two states are responding aggressively to reports of costumed strangers.
Man, they're going at it.
Given that no actual clowns have been located, could this all be public hysteria?
Yeah.
It is entirely possible.
Public
David
hysteria.
David Myers, a professor of psychology at Hope College in Holland.
Doctor.
Said fears can spread as people's thoughts and feelings feed one another. Wow, that guy got his money's worth out of that degree, didn't he?
Well,
okay, so let me tell you. You're telling me, wait, hold a second. So you're telling me you see scary clowns.
Yeah.
People talk about it.
Yeah.
People worry about their safety.
Yeah.
And that leads to feeling, having fear that spreads among people.
Yeah.
Wow, that guy got a degree to tell himself that.
Well, he's, you know what it is. He is a doctor that's hiding in the woods trying to lure
patients into the woods.
Yep.
Sometimes this can create a mass hysteria as perceived problems, such as presumed rashes spread throughout a population, he said.
Mass hysteria? Is that what it was?
Yes.
Mass hysteria? I've got all the rounds.
Mass hysteria. No, yeah. Right.
Really good.
It is a fad to describe clowns as scary. No, it's not a fad to describe.
clowns have always been scary.
I don't have a rope. Clowns are an abomination. They are a weird. I can put up with, you know, sure.
Bozo,
his hair. Did you see that? It freaked me out as a kid.
I did see it.
And he had a little sidekick here in town called Cousin Littlefoot. She had this rainbow wig on because she was all inclusive. And anyway, so it's a fad, apparently, according to Dr. Bekvar, which he and fellow clowns find vexing.
Vexing? They're vexed.
Oh, this is the clown guy. That's right. I was thinking it was the doctor. The clown guy.
You're back to Sir Tooney.
Sir Tooney says, basically, it's a fad. It's not a fad, dude. Okay,
nope. Clowns are spooky.
He said professional clowns work hard to protect their image as being family friendly. They are trained to interact in a positive way with children without frightening them, he said.
You know what? I've got clown experience. I've got an uncle that's a clown. And when I was a kid, there was a Shriner clown that lived down the street from me, and he let me and the other kids come in and play with all of his stuff. He had like these giant combs and rubber fish and, all this clown stuff. And we spent summers over at his house playing with the clown stuff. I'm not really spooked.
It was
clowns.
Fine until he showed up in the middle of the night with a flashlight under his chin with the makeup on.
Where's my rubber fish?
I am not sure if you have ever been to the mall after Thanksgiving and watched the kids' reaction to being placed on Santa's lap, he wrote. There will be some kids who cry and scream. Should we assume that Santa is scary, too?
He was to my daughter.
I mean, seriously, dude, we're not saying that all clowns are bad. It's like, you know, clown lives matter.
Okay, you're going there.
Uh-huh. And
red noses matter, dude.
I'm not...
Hands up, don't honk.
Oh my gosh.
Don't squirt me with that flower, bro.
I don't come down to where he comes from and kick the unicycle out from under him.
Ooh. How about another theme song?
I'm up for anything pretty much.
See if you can figure out what this one is.
Okay. Got it.
What?
It has to do with drunk people?
Yep.
And Jesus statues?
Nope.
Just drunk people?
Yep.
Okay, go ahead.
Because there's some funny stories that come from the alcohol indulgers.
We like to make fun of drunk people.
I don't really
We're
make fun
We're not making
of them.
Fun of people that have a disease of alcoholism.
No, because that would be wrong.
But we make fun of people for being funny when they're drunk.
Yes.
There's a distinction.
Absolutely.
There. Let's just make sure that we make sure everybody understands.
I'm glad you cleared that up.
Yeah, we're not making fun of people for having a problem.
Nah.
But... You're darn funny when you're drunk.
Some people, I'm not.
No, not you. I mean, you. I mean,
I may be. I don't know.
I don't know. You just go.
Okay, fine. So this drunk man high fives and kisses a 100-year-old Jesus statue.
I told you the music had to do with Jesus and a drunk guy.
But he broke it. This is 100-year-old statue.
Well, when when people are inebriated, things, they start loving everything, So probably
it's inanimate.
In his mind, though, he might have thought, oh man, he, just being weird and drunk, maybe he thought, really,
nah,
I don't know.
I don't either. I don't either, but it was in Williamsburg.
I'm not saying it's not weird. I'm just saying maybe in his mind at that moment, he just...
He was being funny. Yeah. He thought he was being funny.
Or he just really wanted a hug.
A drunken vandal high-fived and kissed a ceramic statue of Jesus outside a neighborhood church, shattering the statue's base, according to police.
That wasn't a very good base.
No. The now cracked 100-year-old Jesus was donated to Saints Peter and Paul Church as a replacement for another statue stolen from the rectory in 2012. I bet it's the same guy.
Yeah.
He's got it somewhere.
Free hugs.
And it went on missing briefly back in May from the property in New York, where later it was found near a garbage can. In the most recent incident, just before 5 a.m. Sunday morning, two men and a woman approached.
I thought you were going to say two men and a microphone.
Hey, that would have been awful. Oh, can you imagine?
Yeah.
Two men and a woman approached the white statue outside the church rectory on South 3rd Street, according to police. The three were visibly intoxicated, and one of the men then high-fived, then kissed the statue, causing it to crack.
Oh, I'm with you now. So they were just being goofy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because the Jesus is on church grounds, it might be considered a hate crime, according to police.
It's more of a dumb crime.
Yeah, I think so, too. When you're drunk, you have no common sense.
I just said. That's what I was saying.
You know what? That should be plastered. That it should be over every bar in America.
I know a lot of people that, when they're sober, have no common sense.
That was a worker at the church who said that. Waleska pointed out, that's the same worker, pointed out that the string of attacks on the rectory statue with disappointment. In May, its security camera captured a trio of hipsters.
Oh, stinking hipsters.
Running off with the Jesus statue, though no one has been arrested for that incident.
Oh my gosh. What was the clown's name? Sir what?
Sir Tooney.
He's going to be upset that they're grouping hipsters together.
Sir Tooney Van Duke.
He's going to say, is that to say that all hipsters are out stealing
right.
Jesus statues?
Yeah. Well, now they are. The fact that this is the second time in a matter of months showed a frustrating lack of respect, she said, declining to comment further while the police investigation was going on. So nobody's been arrested yet, but daggummit, they're going to be.
That's crazy. That's hey, you know what time it is?
What time is it?
Top 10 time.
Top 10.
Okay, so today's top 10, richest actors / celebrities in the world.
And you know, this list always interests me for some reason. I have no idea why.
You know what's interesting to me?
What?
They all have 10. It's because they're top 10 list.
That's right.
They never fail.
Never.
Go ahead. So
number 10's kind
wait,
of...
Wait. Number 10. This guy is 47 years old.
Yep.
And
used to be funny.
And he can be.
I like him. I really do.
I mean, I'm not going to give up. So how much does he make?
$340 million. That's what he's worth. He's worth $340
million. And who would that
be? Adam Sandler.
And I really kind of thought he was probably a little higher on the list because I had actually heard that once that he just made stupid money.
Yeah, and he's
That is stupid money, but...
Number 9.
83-year-old.
Coming in at $370
million. Clint Eastwood.
Oh.
He's feeling pretty lucky.
Did you hear that wind?
Yeah.
I meant to do this.
That's pretty good. You had to put the cigarette out.
Oh, the next one's about to drop out.
Oh, yeah. 10, this one, I guess, once everything's divvied out to everybody he owes money to when is all said and done.
At age 76.
$380 million.
Mr. Bill Cosby.
Wow.
Yeah. Bless his heart.
Number 7.
Wait a minute. Scratch that.
Bless his heart. Well, I mean, have some pity on the guy. He's so sick that he, you know.
Yeah, and has been for a long, long time and was really good at covering it up.
Assuming this is all true, but it sounds like it might be.
Yep.
Number 7, 57 years old, $390 million.
Mr. Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks.
Coming in at number 7.
Number 6, I'm kind of surprised, really. He must, because he doesn't do a lot anymore, but I guess he saved his money along the way, invested well.
Yeah.
77 years old, $400
million. Jack Nicholson.
I don't get number 5. $450 million, 44 years old, Tyler Perry.
Yeah.
He's got studios. They shoot in Atlanta. They shoot like Walking Dead at Tyler Perry Studios.
Yeah.
He must be one of these guys that just is business.
He is. He's very smart. And he's a good guy. I think he's really a good guy. And his Madea stuff to me is very funny.
I've never watched it.
Yeah.
Now, I'm a little surprised about number 4 being that it's only $450 million.
Yeah, and it's about to be half that.
Well, maybe, yeah. But also, because this guy owns an island.
Yeah.
When I think of owning an island, I don't think about $450 million. I'm thinking you've got a lot more than that. But Johnny Depp.
Did
you see the picture of his finger?
Yes.
Oh, it's disgusting. Oy. And there's another picture of it healed up, but it's got like big gashes. Okay, for those who don't know, we're going to save the story, but basically he cut his finger, end of his finger nearly off in a rage when he was drunk, and then they had to put it back on. Number 51. Number three, $480 million at 51 years old.
The alien believing in Tom Cruise.
Yeah, he went clear.
I'm going to give you a number two, by the way. He went clear.
Who is this? Who is this?
At age 48, this young man is worth $600 million.
Shah Rukh Khan?
Yep.
Who is that?
Chaka Khan.
No. Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan.
Let me rock it.
Shah Rukh Khan. Who is that?
Shah Rukh Khan. I don't know. He's one of these Bollywood actors.
Okay. Well, that's cool. Yeah. Those guys try hard anyway.
Pretty funny.
And number one.
Well deserving.
$820 million.
Number one. Okay, you do it.
Number one. Age 60 years old.
Yep.
$820 million.
And worth every penny.
Jerry Seinfeld.
I love Jerry Seinfeld.
He's awesome.
He's funny.
His Comedians in Cars show is great.
Yeah, with coffee.
There's always coffee.
Yeah, and he was doing that before James, what's his name, was Corbin.
Before he was.
I think he started the car thing.
Although his late night, the car thing that James does is funny too.
Yeah. Okay, so that's about it.
All right, we're out.
Thank you guys for joining us this edition, and we'll be back this weekend with the latest episode. Please remember to like us on Facebook at Two Middle Aged Dudes, and you can find us on Twitter, and you can get a shirt. Or
we're not giving them away. You got to buy one.
You got to buy a shirt or a mug, which are very popular.
Or Aaron's favorite, the mouse pad.
And
we're gonna get hats too.
And we, as a matter of fact, we may be giving away some in a contest coming up too soon.
Wow!
I don't want to say too much about that just yet because that we hadn't informed the lawyers. But
yeah, we should get lawyers.
Yeah, we're gonna have to get a couple. Anyway, thanks for listening, and right. We'll see you next week.
Later.
It's two middle-aged dudes and a microphone.